first one is from Mark 9, chapters 20 through 25, and the second one is 1 Corinthians 13, 11, and 12. And they brought the boy to him. When the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. It has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you are able to do anything, help us, have compassion on us." Jesus said to him, "If you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." Immediately, the father of the child cried out, "I believe, help my unbelief." And our second reading from 1 Corinthians 13, 11 through 12. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became an adult, I put away the childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Angela. So I have a question. Should I keep my portable mic on, or should I be using that one? Or just a little portable? Okay, got it. Well, many years ago, as a new Christian, I had a conversation with a more seasoned Christian, and he said, in essence, "Well, I'm a Jesus follower, but I don't go to church. I don't feel I have to." That's what he said. And I was a new enough Christian to think, "Well, I don't know, maybe that's right. I mean, the importance is following Jesus, maybe, not church." Well, I've thought about that conversation off and on through the years, and today I would have a counter response that I didn't before. I would say it's not impossible to follow Jesus without the church, but I think it's harder. You all likely agree because here you are in church. But I want to now think about church and what it does for us, the gospel according to church. I've tended to think I come to church because I believe. That's my response to following Jesus. But grace says maybe we also believe because we come to church. Church is one of the ordinary ways the Holy Spirit forms us. It's a means of grace. Does that sound familiar to you? Means of grace, maybe a few people. God doesn't require us to manufacture a spiritual experience at church. We don't come to church and we don't kind of work ourselves into belief. No, God has promised to meet us through ordinary things. And there are a lot of wonderfully ordinary things here that can become a means of grace. I'll just kind of slow down to name them. Singing songs together, listening to scripture together, prayers offered in community. These are all means of grace, and there's more. Obviously, there's the bread and cup baptism, Christian conferencing, acts of mercy as the church. Something holy happens here by way of the Spirit, and church is a means of grace. We can expect something special here. Here's a sentence to think on. Church is a collective opportunity for transcendence. We'll just let that sit in the air for a little bit. It may sound like hyperbole, but it's not, because after all, you may have heard, we are called Christ's bride. That's who the church is. And when the bride, church, and the bridegroom, Christ, meet up, it's special. And Christ has promised to be with us when we gather in his name. Hold on to this. It's special to remember on an ordinary Sunday. On an ordinary Sunday many years ago, I came to believe in Jesus as Lord inside a church. And interestingly, as I reflect, it wasn't a theologically healthy church. I have to say some of their beliefs were pretty wonky. But turns out God can work with that, and that's good news, because God can work with imperfect churches and imperfect people. Thanks be to God. For me, that day in church was briefly transcendent for a few moments. I could perceive something that I hadn't seen before. It was as though the glass had cleared for a little bit. I felt that Jesus loved me. I felt the Spirit was with me. And there I was among other people in church. You all remember the story, perhaps, of Wesley and Aldersgate. Ring some bells. In Wesley's diary, when he heard Martin Luther's preface to Romans, he writes about a transcendent moment. He writes, "I felt God forgave me, even me." And he was already a Christian, right? Yet he saw through the glass, so to speak, a little bit better that day. He walked to service alone, yet there in the midst of the Moravian worship, as he listened in community, his heart was strangely warmed, a means of grace. And these are just two small examples of what I would say the gospel according to church. Maybe you have your own, you know, moments when grace, you felt it move through the church or the service. I'll be honest, since I had that glassless dark day, I'll call it, in church, I've been kind of walking around with a wonder ever since, like a wonder and a longing for another transcendent moment. It hasn't happened much, I gotta say, and that's okay. Why is it okay? It's okay because we know much more often the Spirit works in slow and steady ways, even through a glass darkly. Now we see through a glass darkly. Someday we will see face to face. These are such poetic words. I love them. And they're full of hope. And you know, hope is wonderful. We like hope. But hope isn't a realized thing, remember. You know, by definition, hope includes an ache, a longing, you know. That's hope. Now we see through a glass darkly. We hope for the day it isn't that way. Yet good news thought of church is that being here is a means through which the glass can become a little less dark. Beyond helping us believe, the church, through the wisdom of Christ, helps us to be wise together in community. Left to ourselves, we can sometimes mistake God's voice. And the church community helps us discern together. We do that for one another. One pastor said it this way: if you sense God telling you to remain calm in a difficult moment, that's the Spirit. If you sense God telling you to quit your job tomorrow and move to Vegas, it may be good to check in with your small group. You know, we really do need one another to help be Christ to one another. And on Sunday at church, there are people all around us growing in grace. I see you all growing in grace. Perhaps it's like this. Each time we gather, the Spirit of grace wipes away just a little more of the fog on the metaphorical glass. I recently read a book called How God Becomes Real. I saw it at a library, and I was like, okay, I'll bite. I want to know how God becomes real. And it's an interesting book. It was in the religious section of the library, but it wasn't theology, it's anthropology. The book's writer, Tanya Lorman, is an anthropologist, which means she studies people. And she spent years studying and wondering why religious faith becomes so real for folks. So like a good researcher, she went to church to find out. She went to many churches over years, many Sundays, and she wrote a book about it. And she concludes that weekly practices themselves are catalysts for faith. Faith is built on a Sunday. Now here she is, a researcher. Yet in church, Sunday by Sunday, she found herself drawn to the Christian faith, drawn even toward belief. She was surprised this happened, and she chronicles it in her book. From a purely academic perspective, you might say, She anthropologized her way toward Christianity. She stopped short of calling herself a Christian, but she acknowledges she was changed. But I mean, hey, we don't need an anthropologist to tell us how this might work, right? We call it grace. We might say, Tanya Lorman opened the door and discovered the Holy Spirit was already there. Hashtag prevenient grace. Is that how I do that, young people? Hashtag prevenient. No. My son said don't, but I did. Now, is there a science to it? Sure, but it's God's science. You know, week after week, when we step into the sacred rhythms of worship, the Spirit is saying, I got this, you know? The church is a sacred space where God works his alchemy of grace. Here's what Lerman writes. She writes, quote, the heart of religious life is a responsive world, the sense that the world is alive, aware, intelligent, and interested. I love that. I believe that. Church helps us be in the world and believe that God is not indifferent to it. We see a broken world, and church helps us trust that God is moving us towards reconciliation. We see suffering, and church helps us trust that God is moving us toward healing, and we can even take part in that healing. And we look at death, and church helps us trust that God is moving us towards resurrection. And we look at our own little messes, our failures, our fears, the things we don't understand. And church reminds us that God is not finished with us yet. We don't always know what God is doing. We often don't. We see, yet darkly. So that brings us back to Paul's words. Now we see through a glass darkly. We know in part. And sometimes faith is hard. Which is why I find helpful that little sentence that Angela read in Mark's gospel. The man brings his suffering child to Jesus, and when Jesus challenges him to believe, the man cries out, I believe, help my unbelief. You know, they're both there. And I think that may be one of the most honest prayers in the Bible. I believe, help my unbelief. The man doesn't have perfect faith. He doesn't have everything figured out. He doesn't see it all clearly, but he brings what he has to Jesus, and look what Jesus does. He meets him right there in the middle of his doubt, in the middle of his imperfect faith, and he heals his son. I think the church is meant to be a place where we can do the same thing. We don't come here because we have perfect faith. We come here, sometimes our faith is strong, sometimes it might feel thin. Sometimes we believe, sometimes we wonder, and sometimes we really need the faith of the people sitting around us to carry us a little. You know, think about what happens when we say the Lord's Prayer together. It isn't just repetition, it's formation. Those words shape us from the inside, but also there may be seasons when we aren't sure we can get behind every line of what we're saying out loud. But we say it together. And when my faith is thin, I can hear your faith around me in the words you're saying. I can borrow your faith for a little while. And maybe that's also one of the gifts of the church. We carry one another when faith is hard. We remind one another of what is true when we can't quite see it ourselves. We become in some small way the presence of Christ to one another. And that kind of circles us back to where I started a little bit. I come because I believe, and I believe because I come. The two work together. Faith draws us into the church, and the church, through the ordinary means of grace, helps faith grow. Yes, we see through a glass darkly, but this much we know. Keep on worshiping, keep on praying, keep on showing up, because somewhere along the way, something happens and we are changed. And the church has always understood that faith is a path of growth and revelation, but it is a path. And sometimes the most faithful thing we can do is keep walking together. We imagine the kingdom before it arrives. We hope for reconciliation, healing, and resurrection, even when we can't see them. And we imagine Christ with us because he is. This isn't make-believe. It's hope that little by little, the glass grows less dark until one day the ache will be gone. We will see Jesus face to face, and we will see his church as it was always meant to be. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.